Our God is with you.
And also with you.
This is a story taken from the good news of John.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter and Thomas, also called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana, Zebedee's sons, and two other disciples. And Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said, "Well, we'll also go with you." And so they went out and got in a boat. But that night, these professional fishermen caught nothing. When it was dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore. But the disciples did not recognize him. "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" And they answered, "No." So I said to them, "Cast the net out on the right side of the boat. I think you'll find something." So they cast it and were unable to pull in because of the number of sheep. So the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "I think it's the Lord." And when Peter heard that it might be the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and he jumped into the sea. Meanwhile, the other disciples came in the boat, and they were not far from shore, only a few hundred yards, and they were dragging the net full of fish. When they climbed out on the shore, they saw charcoal fire and fish on it and bread. And Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Peter went over and dragged the net full of fish. It was 153 big fish in that net. There were so many, but the net was not torn. And Jesus said, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples said, "Who are you?" Because they realized it was the Lord. And Jesus came over and took some bread and gave it to them and the fish as well. This was the third time Jesus revealed himself after being raised. And when they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Peter answered, "Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And then Jesus looked at Peter a second time and said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "You know I love you." And Jesus said, "Tend my sheep." And then the third time Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was really distressed at this time that he asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted to go. But as you grow older, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you." And then he said, "Follow me." My brothers and sisters, the good news of Jesus.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm not going to spend any time on that Revelation reading other than saying the writer of that book of Revelation, he was talking about that when he was in prison in the island of Patmos. And he's given a beginning glimpse, if you take a look at it, of the cosmic Christ. Everything was one with it. And we have to look past the poetry and the images that dream that he had and see he's talking about everything. Now, in today's gospel is chapter 21. And this gospel is called the epilogue. Because last week when we had the end of chapter 20, it seemed like that was the end, didn't it? The gospel should have been there. Jesus came and he said, as the Father sent me, I send you out. Receive the Holy Spirit. Go out and forgive people. Go out and serve them. Take care of them. But they didn't do that. And we take a look at earlier in the chapter. We see Mary Magdalene in the garden at the tomb. Twice then his disciples were in the house of Jerusalem. He was showing them their wounds. He gave them the Holy Spirit. As apostles and women, men, they were all commissioned and sent out. Go forth, heal, and forgive. So today, Peter says, I'm going fishing. Is that what Jesus wanted to send him to? It's strange that in this, and strange and wonderful though, that nobody recognized Jesus. Doesn't sound weird to you that nobody did? Mary mistook him as the gardener until he said Mary. The story suggests that his voice today was different. They didn't understand it was him. They didn't recognize him on the shore. And until there was an astounding catch of fish. Something happened that they began to recognize him. So it says to me that maybe Jesus, this was different. Why did John put this cryptic thing in there during Brevis? None of his disciples dared ask who he was if they weren't confused about who he was. And when did they recognize him? He said, come eat some fish. Come eat some bread. Does that bring alive something here when we sing the Eucharistic prayer? Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Christ will see us now, is the way we sing it. You'll know them in the breaking of the bread. You'll know they're my disciples by the way that you love. I mean, think about that. The verse only makes sense that Jesus looked significantly different. His companions didn't see it until they broke that bread. And you see, for the writer of John's Gospel, resurrection does not mean resuscitation. Jesus is back, but something is different, and it takes time to recognize it. It makes me think of today. Do we see something different in each other in this breaking of bread we do today? Do we see Jesus in other people around us that sometimes we can't right away recognize? And yet Jesus is there. And that's what his resurrection perhaps is about. Isn't it interesting that despite the previous scene, Jesus had already commissioned them, and they all go back and they say, let's go fishing. They're simply going to return to their old lives. When I was thinking about this, it made me think, how many times do I come here and share and break bread, and this is the body of Christ, we are the body of Christ, and then sometimes I go back to my old way of living. You know what I'm saying? That I don't see that. Did they lose their nerve? Is that why they went back to their fishing? Were they confused or unsure about how to begin or what to do? Can you see yourself in that position? There are times I can't see me. Another idea, maybe they were ashamed at how badly they botched up the whole thing. They deserted Jesus in the end. They were dishonoring him. And Peter was the biggest one. Lord, I will never disown you. And then a couple hours later, he says, I don't know And he probably used some cuss words with it. I don't know him. Three times he said it. You ever been in that hot seat? Think about that. That's a tough question to answer, but I think it's a good question to ask. I can only imagine how the resurrection, them seeing Jesus, however it was, made things worse for Peter. He was face to face and challenged by the man who he abandoned. Jesus initially greets the apostles. Now, they're not in Jerusalem. He follows them all the way to the Sea of Galilee. And he says, "Peace be with you." I can just think about what might have been going through Peter's head when he saw that. He might have said, "Oh God." Jesus, he's imagining Jesus said, "Didn't I tell you I was going to do this? Didn't I tell you that was going to happen? Why weren't you listening? What was wrong? I told you how many times?" But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And according to the story, as Jesus went out, imagine what that was been like. Jesus says, "You and me, when we leave here, I knew I'd find you back in your old habits. Empty hopes, empty nets. You're worried that you let me down. You're worried that you've been disqualified." And yet what Jesus says, I'm not paying attention to that. I chose you. I called you. I knew your weaknesses. I knew your struggles. I know you better than you know you. Stop thinking in terms of scarcity. Think that limit what you do. And think of the abundance that you have. Think about that. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. I mean, take a look at it. He was a professional fisherman. He did it for a life. And there seems to be some kind of hook there that time he goes out to fish, he catches nothing. Empty nets. And yet, when they begin to see it, there's 153 fish in that net. Big fish. There's some that say that the reason it was 150 because they believe that that encompassed all of that was in humanity, all that was in nature, all that was with all the whole world, that 153. Now, there are many other things that go with that. But it seems to me that he's talking about the cosmic Christ, that we're all part of that. And it doesn't matter about our weaknesses, our shortcomings. The thing that matters, he's with them. But many times, I'm sure you've heard it, but we don't catch it all when we hear just the English. In Greek, Jesus says, "Simon Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally, fully, no holds back?" And Peter answers, "Lord, you know I love you like a brother. I philos you." Totally different level. And Jesus doesn't criticize him for that. He confirms that. He says, "Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs." The second time he asks him, "Peter, do you agape me beyond all imagining? Do you love me completely, wholly, with all your heart?" And Peter comes back and says, "Lord, I love you like a brother. I philos you." See, we miss that when it's just in the English. The third time Jesus says it, he says, "Peter, do you philos me?" Jesus says, "Do you love me like a brother?" And Peter says, "You know all things. You know I love you like a brother. You know my limitations. You know I can't do it all." And Jesus comes back and says, "Well, then if you love me, make that love tangible. Go out and care for the people who I love. I'm the good shepherd. And you know what? You're taking my place." Think about that. You're taking my place. I choose you. I want you to feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed the people who I fed, the people who were discredited, the people who were out there, the Roman centurion, the woman caught in adultery, the old lady who put her last 2 cents into the pot. Take care of the Samaritan woman, the ones who are outcast. Go out and take care of them. Are you weak? Yeah, I know you're weak. Do you got it all together? Hell no. But I chose you, and I send you out. Now go out and do it. Incredibly, Jesus knows everything we're capable of. What Jesus saw in Peter was the eye of abundance, not scarcity. How many times you say, I've said, God, I can't do this. Well, do what you can do. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to take care of the rest. But go out and do it. God's turning this whole thing upside down. He's saying, transform that ugliness across each one of us bear, the chaos that we see in our world today, the difficulties we have, transform that into the abundance that's really in us and that we're capable of doing, and we can make it happen. Look what happened in the Acts of the Apostles. There's a transformation in those guys. They went out and they were talking about Jesus. They're talking about reaching out to everybody, to go beyond the boundaries of what the church was in that day, to welcome everybody. And they got called on the carpet in the Sanhedrin. We told you not to go saying this stuff. And they went out and they said, thank God we did. And they went out and did something. And they welcomed others. All the way up till Constantine, over half the population was Christian because they went out and showed people love. And so, I'm thinking, in this chaos that we live in today, we need to have that kind of faith and hope. Do we have strengths and weaknesses? Yeah. Do we have weaknesses? Yeah. Do we have weaknesses? Yeah. But Jesus fills the rest. You know, I think we dishonor the people back and Peter and them when we say, I don't think I can do it. Do what you can. Go out and make a difference in your life just by loving one person, by loving one. I think we dishonor the people on Stonewall when we don't go out there and love others and welcome others into who we are. I think we dishonor Rosa Parks, who stood up in the front of the bus and took all that heat that she took. But it changed the world. Go out and do something. And in 1920, for women's suffrage, the women put themselves out there. And they made a difference in our country that all people could begin to vote. Did it happen right away for all people? No. It wasn't until 1963 that it happened for black women. It took time to develop. But people kept on pushing forward and knowing that it would change. And in this times that we live in today, we need to know that we have what needs to make our world what it needs to be. It may not be in my lifetime, but I add to it. It may not be in yours, but you add to it. And I believe that's the hope. And that's the whole thing of Jesus coming back and live, because we begin to see Jesus in you, and you, and you, and you. We see it in the guy who's sitting out there in front of church today with ragged clothes. Jesus is there serving, helping. Do that. That's what I think this gospel was about today. That we all belong to this. And I think that's what Revelation was talking about. And that's what the Acts of the Apostles were. It was the same guys who went back fishing. But they made a difference. You and I can make a difference. Let's go do that. I'd like to open up for your comments.